So, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Student Accountant podcast series. I'm here today with a very special guest. It's Barbara Davidson.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Could you introduce yourself a little bit? So just what you're doing now and where you've come from.
Okay, thank you. Well, hello everyone. And thank you for asking me to speak on this. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you today. I was working in accounting and finance for about over 20 years. I started off in accounting and audit in the United States. So I have a CPA license, a certified public accountant license in the United States. I worked for two accounting firms, public accounting firms, Deloitte and PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I worked in audit. I also worked in public filings, so working on IPOs mostly in the US. And then I moved into Asia to Hong Kong. And actually, first I went to France, then I went to Hong Kong, and then I started working in investment banks. So I worked in accounting policy at two investment banks. And then I came back here to London, and I worked for the International Accounting Standards Board, the IASB, who many of you have probably heard of. Or if you haven't, if you're in the US, it's similar to the US FASB that writes the US GAAP. So at the IFRS Foundation, or at the IASB, I headed investor engagement, which is effectively talking to the primary user of financial statements about the information they need to make their investment decisions. So we had lots of discussions about what investors needed and what the board could do in their remit. But I also found discussions increasing around climate change, climate-related issues, sustainability issues. And I always had an interest in the environment growing up. And I thought, well, maybe it's time for me to go back to school and try to focus in this area instead of only focusing on accounting. So last year I went back to school and got a master's in environmental policy and regulation. And so now I'm freelancing and speaking to organizations such as the ACCA, writing articles for them about different accounting and climate-related issues, also with respect to the investment community and the work they do in terms of integrating environmental, social, and governance issues into their investment decision making. And so that's where I am today. And that's how I got there.
Thanks, Barbara. So, I mean, obviously climate change or climate emergency, climate crisis, however you want to call it, is something that's affecting us all. It's affecting a lot of people in the world already in a great and catastrophic degree. And it's going to ultimately affect everyone. For those of us who are particularly concerned about this issue and want to perhaps go in a direction that reflects that in their careers, how can accountants contribute to tackling the climate emergency? Are there any particular fields that we could go into or consider, any particular areas where, as an accountant, I can make a difference?
You did mention this question to me before the podcast, and I've thought about it a bit, and I'm going to suggest some areas that are, I think these are non-exhaustive, but it's a way to start. You could definitely look at working in the accounting teams of companies that specifically target climate-related goals. So you could, for example, look for technology companies that are working on innovative technology to tackle our fuel needs, renewable energy needs, packaging issues. There's a lot of discussion around using different types of packaging now instead of single-use plastics, such as compostable packaging. I know Dell did an initiative with the circular economy on they did some recycled packaging or compostable packaging for their computers at one point. So you can look into companies that are working in these areas. Also, I did mention the circular economy. You can look at companies that are working in the circular economy, which is really focusing on a whole cycle of reusing or repairing even before recycling. So trying to make sure everything they do fits is not going to waste. So basically, these companies try to target zero waste. So you could try to work in those companies, as in the accounting team, for example. If they're reporting, you could try to work in the reporting team. You could also look at environmental NGOs. They always also need, you know, they'll need accountants too in their finance or reporting teams. And in that regard, I would look at NGOs that interest you, because there are many, many out there in the climate space. Some are small and some are obviously much larger. And you can work in climate areas in different fashions. So you can work in climate related to food issues. You can work at packaging issues. You can work at transport issues, you know, renewable energy issues, animal issues. There are lots of different kind of lenses to look at climate change through. There are also these corporations out there called certified B corporations that I think are fairly new. and they're formed to basically, I'm going to quote from their website, they're legally required to consider impacts on, quote, workers, customers, suppliers, the community, and the environment. So they have a different remit, say, than standard organizations that are there really to create shareholder value. And they also signpost on their packaging. So if you're looking at products that interest you or that look to be more sustainable or renewable, you might see that it's a B Corp. But you could also look on their website for more information about that. They seem to have quite a lot of companies now, over 3,000 companies in over 70 countries. So I imagine they would also have the need for accountants, because everyone does. So it's a good choice that you've made. There are larger corporations that are trying to move into more environmentally friendly activities. There are government departments that are going to be setting climate policies that you could look into working with. If you're already working at a company, you could look at working in the corporate reporting team. There are some climate-related recommendations that have come out of general work on from the Financial Stability Board. And if the corporate reporting team they will be involved in implementing these kinds of disclosures. And so the accountants and the finance people at the organization will help with this information, and it could help you learn a lot about the company. You could probably also input ideas, because this is a new space, so everyone's learning at the same time. There are also standard setters out there you could work for. So there are environmental social governance standard setters, ESG, or sustainability standard setters that are working to mainstream climate and natural capital information into corporate reporting. One is called the Climate Disclosure Standards Board. Another is called the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board. There are others out there as well, but you can look into what projects they're working on and whether you would like to work for them. You could work as an auditor, as I did when I started out, or you could do internal audit. So internal auditors will look at companies' risk processes, and hopefully that will include climate-related risks. External auditors will help companies when they start reporting climate-related information. They could also help companies with assumptions they make related to climate issues and how it affects their companies. So I think there's a lot out there. An accountant doesn't mean you have to sit and just do accounting all day. It gives you a good background for business, and you have a lot of options if you think about what space you want to be in.
It sounds like there is a lot happening in this sphere. But is it enough? I mean, do you think that this issue is being taken seriously in the finance world at this point?
I think that the finance world is definitely looking at this area with a lot more interest. And my thoughts, especially having worked with investors for a while, is that you have to allocate capital in the right directions, even if you don't want to go in the direction of capital markets. In the end, it's important for investments to be made in the right companies. And so the financial world has come up with a task force that was set up a couple of years ago by the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. And the task force is called the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, or the TCFD. They have come up with some recommendations for climate-related information that companies should be or could be implementing in their processes, as well as disclosing for investors. And this information, it's not mandatory, but it's important for companies to consider it, because it will make sure, one, that money is going towards companies that are going to understand the impacts of the environment on their companies and change their activities. It helps because we don't want to have a huge market collapse. We want to make sure that the money is going in a measured and sustainable fashion to different businesses and markets, so that we can deal with the situation, and that investors aren't surprised and we're not surprised as consumers, and the markets aren't surprised and everything doesn't crash. So the financial world is understanding that this is an issue. It's from the aspect of the climate risk impact on the company, but that is still an important issue, because as companies understand the impact on them, they will try to change their strategies to make sure they're resilient to climate risk, which likely means they're going to implement more climate-friendly activities. So say, for example, if you look at requirements that are changing for emissions, you know, emissions requirements and standards or renewable energy policies, more and more coal-fired plants are being shut down now, or they have less remaining years in their useful lives because of these policies. And so that means that these power generation companies are now looking at other ways of generating energy, electricity. They have to find other sources of power, hopefully renewable sources that are kind to the environment, but this is because they understand climate risks are going to be a problem for their fixed assets.
So, yeah, so it sounds like one of the ways that accountants can help or be involved is that the more information is available to companies and to investors, and the better choices we can make because we're more informed about the risks and about what's actually happening, and then we can take better decisions.
Yes,
that's right. So accountants can help with illuminating things, basically.
Yes, I mean, disclosures are hopefully coming after companies have integrated these processes. So the accountants can help with the integration into company processes and then with the disclosures. But even if companies are not integrating them and they disclose why they think these issues are not important or why they haven't integrated them yet, that also illuminates information to stakeholders, to consumers, as well as to investors. I mean, consumers can also, they can vote with their feet, you know, or vote with their pockets. They don't have to buy products from companies that are doing things that they don't think is appropriate. And that is also a climate-related risk that that actually these TCFD recommendations see as a transition risk to different, to adjust to mitigating climate change. So if consumer preferences are changing and that's being illuminated by the disclosures and the work that accountants are doing, then there'll be, the corporations themselves will have to change.
So what about if, say, if I'm already working as an accountant and I'm in a large organization, I do care about this and I want to make change happen, but I feel somewhat powerless in a big institution about what to do. Are there still things that I can do that can help, maybe help people to become aware or make changes in the wider organization?
So at a big, if you're starting out a big organization, yeah, I can understand that that could be difficult. You can, in your own team, do things that are more environmentally friendly and maybe talk to your colleagues about it, and they'll see what you're doing. So, for example, you could encourage small behavior changes in your office, even if they're less official or not official, such as printing on, if you have to print double-sided to a page, or try not to print if you don't have to. You can encourage recycling. If you see people putting things in the rubbish bin, you know, maybe kindly remind them there's a recycling bin. I know that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. These are just things to think about. You could bring a reusable cup to work for your coffee. And, you know, if you're doing a holiday gift exchange, give them to your colleagues as gifts. You can save less online and in the cloud and more on your computers. You have to make sure you're in accordance with your data protection retention policies, of course. But you can also look to see if your company has environmental remits. They might have working groups, for example, on these recommendations I mentioned, that they need people to help with gathering information, doing analyses. So look and see if there are any working groups you can get involved in at your company. You might be able to help with some energy saving measures. You know, maybe there are some energy efficiency things that your office might be doing if you're in a smaller office. But if you're in a bigger office, that might not be so easy. You can look into volunteer days. So sometimes corporates will go together with their team and volunteer somewhere as a charity event. So you could see if there are any climate related things that people could do. Or you can do things on your own and then just talk to your colleagues about them when you come back from the weekend and talk about what you did. And I think the more that you talk about it, share a good practice with people, they'll think more about their own behavior. You can also, outside of work, participate in things like climate action events in your community. You can look at events from your professional bodies, look at events that are put on by local universities. And then, of course, on your own, if you practice doing this, because most people that I talk to don't always practice doing this on their own, which is very interesting. So, you know, reuse more, buy less, repair things more, try to buy things with less packaging, try to buy local, take public transport as much as you can, or bike or walk. These things, take shorter showers, things like this that are everyday things people don't think about, make a big difference if we all do them.
One of the difficulties is with corporate culture or any kind of group culture, like you were saying, it can be really difficult to be the one, especially if you're quite new to a team, to bring up less than ethical behavior with colleagues and how to do that in a way that sort of actually inspires people rather than makes them feel judged. And so I think that's a really good idea to sort of join working groups or just have conversations with people that where you find who the other people are who are interested in this, and then you feel instantly stronger and that actually you can make a change just by a few of you taking action. And also I think if you're in a managerial role, even if it's just of a small team, to be somebody who supports others making those actions, I think, can be really, really empowering.
Yeah. I mean, you can do things, depending on how comfortable you are in your team, you can do things like, you know, who wants to join me in Meatless Mondays or something like that. And, you know, just do little events with your colleagues, or talk to your manager, ask them if they'd be happy to, you know, institute maybe a signature saying, please don't print. If you, you know, consider the environment, don't print this email. Yeah. I mean, they sound like small things, but I think every reminder is important, because people that don't work in this space are not thinking about it all the time. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And I think, although a lot of us take it for granted now that we've seen the facts, we've seen the science, we know that there's a climate emergency, and the more we delve into it, the more we see that actually it's happening faster than a lot of people thought it even would, and causing a lot of damage to the environment. But there are people who are still not coming on board with that reality. Is there anything that accountants can do in terms of using figures to combat climate change denial specifically?
Well, in the context of the corporate reporting that I spoke about before and the disclosures, this TCFD recommendations is a hot topic today. And if you're working at a company that hasn't implemented these disclosures, maybe you could talk to your manager, or if you're a manager, talk to the board about, you know, why you haven't considered these disclosures. Is there a process in the company for integrating climate-related risks and opportunities into your processes? Are you in an industry that is seen to be maybe a higher risk? Even if you're not, there could still be climate issues. But if you are, such as the finance sector, transportation sector, energy sector, automotive sector, which is transportation, agriculture. I mean, there are a lot of sectors that have issues that you can go and look at, say, for the SASB standards, and understand what the climate-related risks are, and understand why your company might not be reporting them or might not be considering them. Sometimes it's just a disconnect between departments, because the department that's reporting may not be aware of the other department's work, and other departments' work may not be aware that the things they're doing are climate-related risks that should be reported to the public, so the investors. So I think that this information helps with climate denial, because it brings it to the forefront. Well, first, it brings it to the forefront of corporate decision-making and awareness. And then also, the more corporates are addressing this and maybe hopefully changing their products or changing their own behaviors, people are going to understand and see the effects of climate change on the businesses and products offered and on capital markets. And maybe this will make it more of a reality for the general public and less hypothetical. Definitely, once people can relate climate change or climate risk to their own personal situation, such as seeing less plastic being used, or, you know, increases in electric transport, or higher fuel prices, or no more single-use plastic, or supermarkets that won't use plastic packaging, or changes in heating and electric prices, or more renewable energy offers, you know, the list can go on, then they'll understand more that, you know, they can directly relate it to themselves. They can make it more of a habit when they're considering their purchases and their behaviors. And by then, it makes them harder to deny the reality.
Mm. Yeah, it's such a massive topic, isn't it?
There's a lot out there. I would say that everyone's affected by it. So anyone who says they're not affected by it really kind of needs to go back and think about all
reality
the different
check.
Risks.
Yeah.
Because there are risks that you don't necessarily think about, even though the service industry may think they're not affected by it, because the service industry uses quite a lot of technology and the internet and the cloud. They are affected by climate change, or they could be affected by climate change, because the cloud and the data, you know, servers use quite a lot of energy. And so keeping these servers going and the growing use of the internet and the growing use of the cloud means that we need more servers for more space, which means we need more energy, because the servers need energy to go and energy to keep them cool. And so that is a climate related risk, because that means we need more resources, natural resources, to build the server farms, to build the equipment, to build the technology, and to build the fuel. And that may eventually mean a trade-off between those resources for us and resources for the server farms. So I think everyone will be affected. I mean, I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm saying this so that you think more about things we take for granted on a daily basis, and think, how might this be involved in climate change?
Well, it seems like a paradox in a way, because on one hand, we're told as accountants, we're having to get to grips with technology. We all need to be tech savvy. It's all about digital and using more technology. And that's almost only just happening, really. But at the same time, we then have to accept that with that comes this burden of the impact of using of technology and the internet in particular and the servers on the environment. So I don't really know what to do with that.
Yes. I think we need to learn more. We still have to learn. And it's, you know, we have to think about, do I need to use that? Do these things need to be saved? I mean, there's some advice is don't save everything on the cloud in terms of like personally anyway, photographs or videos personally on the cloud. Save it on your hard drives or, you know, go through and clear things that you don't need. And sometimes technology is better than, you know, it's better to have a phone call or a webinar than having everyone fly to one location. Yeah. So there are some instances where the life cycle analysis would be better using technology than for other means. But we all have to use things in moderation and we have to think about if everything that we do is necessary all the time, and maybe we have to cut back on some of these things.
So it's, in a way, it's a behavior moderation that is applicable to all areas of life. If you treated the data in your computer and the way that you use data and online in the same way as real objects that you had in your office, you know, would you keep this thing or would you not keep it? And we're used to this disposable culture as well. So again, it's more about perhaps just changing our minds or thinking actually more about, well, what do I actually need here? Do I really need this level of convenience or not?
Or, I mean, we talked before about if we had printed everything out that was on our email or in our computer, would it fill up a room? Do we need it all? I mean, and these are things that are also filling up the cloud.
Yeah. And, so, and in reality, you'd be forced to throw things out through circumstance because your room would fill up with stuff.
Right.
But because we haven't reached that point yet, we're not forced to get rid of things.
Right.
But I think that in some ways, and a lot of people are saying, we won't realize what we have to do until it's too late. You know, that the full force of climate emergency is not going to hit us until actually it's too late.
Probably.
That's some of us in certain parts of the world, whereas actually in some parts of the world, that's already happening and has been happening for a while.
Yes.
So it's really different as well, depending on where you are, isn't it?
I mean, I would also say, and this is probably controversial because there are a lot of new companies out there doing this, and also this is seems to be the way things are trending. So this may or may not be possible, but I would think about whether you need the convenience that's offered to you. For example, I see that there are ways of using the internet, so now you can lock your door lock your front door online. I don't think, personally, these are things we need to load the internet up with. The Internet of Things is definitely growing, though. And so the more conveniences that are out there, the more things that are linked, the more we will need the data server. So maybe step back and think about whether you really need this convenience. And I understand that companies are building around this, but I think we need to take a step back and think about it some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Sustainable development goals, that's something that I've heard about and read about. Just wondered if you could just summarize what that's all about.
So these are goals that were developed by the United Nations. They're often referred to as SDGs, and there are 17 goals that were developed by the UN, and they were developed in order to, quote, achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. So they're trying to bring everyone up to a certain level in the world, you know, eliminate poverty, address climate change, address environmental degradation, and the target is to reach these goals by the year 2030. The goals are interrelated, so the 17 goals can focus on different issues, but they will affect each other. I wrote down some examples of climate-related and environmental SDGs. So SDG 7 talks about affordable and clean energy. SDG 11 talks about sustainable cities and communities. SDG 12 is responsible consumption and production. 13 is climate action. 14 is life below water. And 15 is life on land. And so if you go online and look at the SDGs, they'll talk about the targets and the goals for each and how they think we can accomplish as a society these goals. And companies, you'll see also if they issue or publish sustainability reports, will publish some of these SDGs and their progress made towards them in the report so they can demonstrate to stakeholders how their operations at their work is meeting or achieving these goals. I don't know where we are at in these goals. 2030 is only 10 years away, which actually is not very long. I think that accountants can play a role towards accomplishing the SDGs that by looking for companies that work with these or are contributing to them and seeing if you want to work for those companies, you can look at the SDGs again and see if they fit your own company and see if you report on them, if you are able to discuss that with your team. And you could actually work on other goals because they're interconnected. You could look at societal goals and those will help achieve other climate-related goals, environmental goals. So one of the goals is ensuring clean water for everyone. I mean, that goal will also help us be better aware of our water use and taking less advantage of waste, you know, making sure we don't waste water and better water awareness for everyone. So that will still help the environment and the climate. Another thing you could do is look at high-risk industries and see if you want to work with them and they see if they maybe you can help influence them to transition to working towards some of these SDGs and
to change
maybe
from the
working
inside.
In some of their departments. Yes, I know people that work in sustainability department of Shell. You know, they are aware of changing fuel preferences, and you know, some of these companies are trying to use their money to invest in other types of activities, which is a good thing. So you could go, yeah, try to make change from the inside. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there today. But the SDGs are a way of trying to meet a better, basically make a better world for everyone. And you can look at them in conjunction with the Paris Agreement, in conjunction with these other disclosures I talked about.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of them are trying to achieve similar things.
So do you think that corporate reporting can be used to bring about positive social change?
So I think that, as I mentioned earlier, the disclosures that we talked about for the TCFD can make corporates behave in a different way because climate, they have climate risks they need to address and they need to change their strategies to be more resilient to climate change. So that could bring about positive change for the environment. It could bring about positive social change. There are requirements today and there are more and more requirements coming out around social and governance issues. So if you want to talk about social change, requirements around, say, Human Slavery Act and things that companies need to indicate how they've addressed it or what they're doing in this aspect. And so the fact that they have to report it then means that they need to look into what they're doing. They need to look into their supply chains. They need to understand what's happening. There are other standards, guidance out there that companies could look to that have been designed to show the impact of a company on the environment and society, such as the Global Reporting Initiative. And that is hoping to actually give people decisions, give them information so they can make decisions that will be more beneficial to the society and environment and economics. But I mean, it's not as easy to do that we see today as it is to change behavior because it's affecting people's pocketbooks. But having said that, which sounds very pessimistic, it is nice to see that there are standards out there, such as the Global Reporting Initiative, that were developed trying to make it better for everyone, you know, trying to show a holistic view of a company, trying to make companies think about what their effects are on the environment. These also, you know, these are old CSR, or, you know, these types of activities that are still out there that could still bring about positive change. I think they bring about positive change also because they bring to light negative activities that consumers and that NGOs will highlight when they're unhappy. And so when you see or you don't see information in corporate reporting, you'll be, you know, there are people out there that are going to speak up and change things because of that.
Can consumers look at the reporting of companies that they buy from? Is that available to everyone?
It depends on if the company is a listed or traded company.
Yeah.
So, well, I shouldn't say traded, that word's used differently in different places. But if the company sells its shares in on a stock exchange,
yeah,
you know, in the United States or here in the UK, then they are required to report certain information in their financial statements and it's required to be public information. So normally you can go online and look in the investor section of the company's website and look at for their annual reports. If they're not required to make this information public, then sometimes they will provide sustainability reports, which will give some information to the things that they're around what they're doing in this space, because they may not actually want to put this in their mainstream reports, which is another interesting topic. But so go on companies' websites, you know, type in sustainability, type in annual reports, type in climate. A lot of times you can get that information. They may just put it on their websites too, because their stakeholders may be asking for it.
Yeah. And that could be also something to do if I'm looking at what company I want to work for as well. If I'm sort of thinking about, well, I'll go and find out the details and what they're doing and see if it's something I want to align myself with.
Right. Well, that's the interesting part too, is there is a lot of information being reported and the question is who's, you know, is it being used by the people that need it?
Yeah.
How is it being transmitted to them? Are people aware of it?
Yeah.
And yeah, also have to decide on your own too. But yeah, you try to get as much information as you can.
Wow, that's been absolutely amazing. Very interesting. I feel like we could easily talk all day.
We already have
talked all afternoon and it's been great. So just thank you so much for coming and sharing all your knowledge and experience on this topic. And if we want to know more about your work, do you have a website or anywhere we should go and find your, we can definitely find some of your articles in Accounting and Business magazine.
Yes.
I know that for sure, which is also on the ACCA Global website.
Yes, I would start with those articles. You can look me up in LinkedIn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gives a little bit of my profile, but you'll see more of me in this space next year. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Thank you very, very much. Goodbye.